Good morning, everyone. It's the 12th of August. It's Monday morning. You know, I had mentioned yesterday that there was a time in my life when I was going through some very dark periods, and I would sit down and God would give me these poems. And after a number of years have gone by, I realized that those poems were given to me not only for the time when they were given to me, but for years later, I could go back and reflect upon what had gone through my mind when I was writing these poems. And you know, there's a purpose in everything that God causes us to go through in our life. You know, having attended the University of Kansas, I was subject to a lot of people that really didn't even believe in God. I don't know if atheists actually exist or not, but there are certainly agnostics out there that question whether God exists, and they certainly question the authenticity of who Christ said he was. This is my answer to atheists. So you say there is no God, that he... You say that this world came together by goo and matter that mixed. Just by chance it came together to make life, that's what you say. Look around you, man, you know it's not that way. Look up into the heavens and see millions of stars, the moon, and the sun. But you say the world was created by goo and matter that together spun. You claim to be intelligent and to be able to think clearly. I believe your cognitive processes have been affected severely. The human being has thousands of articulate functions that works like simultaneously, all in orchestrated conjunction. You say the amoeba cell split so all of this could happen. So you have me splitting at the seams. Yes, you have me laughing. Look at the ocean and mountains in their majesty. Yet you hold on to this theory. Makes me wonder if you're on the drug ecstasy. Stop and think that this world has been created. Give up all this nonsense of evolution. You're highly overrated. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God. Stop mocking your Creator and his great wonders laud. For soon you will stand before him and give an account for these things you have said. You have an eternal soul and know you won't be dead, but living instead. Well, that's my answer to atheists, you know. I looked up an account on YouTube of some of the old holiness preachers that I used to sit under as a child. Dr. Dale Yoakam, Dr. Omar Lee, Dr. Noel Scott. And one theme that did not run through their preaching across the board, one theme that did not run through their preaching was grace. They didn't preach much on grace. They did not teach much on substitutionary atonement. They didn't teach much on the sheep and the goats. They didn't teach much on redemption. They taught a lot about perfection. They taught about a lot about works. They taught a lot about taking off your jewelry and dressing modestly. They taught a lot about, this one guy was even saying, you could consider sin not knowing what the, getting messed up on what day of the week it was. Well, you know, I'm an advocate of God's grace. I'm not an advocate of works in the man, in himself. Every one of these people that we saw ended up having doctor before their name, and they didn't mind taking on the name of reverend. You know, the Bible says, call no man reverend, call no man father. You know, why do they want to take on these titles in front of their name? You know, it's amazing to me how people have such a variety of beliefs about the Bible. You know, I mean, we even saw that even Paul and had it out with Peter over some of these teachings about works and circumcision and having to come against the Judaizers. I've entitled this, What You Believe Is Important. Ideas, thoughts, and beliefs make up the content of our life. What you believe comes from somewhere, so where do you get your beliefs, your ideas, and thoughts? Is it merely a compilation of a universal mind? Thoughts, beliefs, and ideas come from one of three sources, man, God, or Satan. How does one determine which of these three sources our ideas, thoughts, and beliefs are coming from? Well, the answer is determined by whether one has been born again by the Spirit of God or is still dead in trespasses and sin. If one is born again by the Spirit of God, all things have been made new. The person born again has been translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son, and now his or her thoughts are under the direction of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to the child of God to know that his or her thoughts, ideas, and beliefs are now under the Master's control and are directed by God's Word. Well, you know, it's amazing how God changes our minds, changes our beliefs, changes what we hold as truth. I have entitled this one, Birth, New Birth, and Glorification. Birth and New Birth and Glorification. When we take our first breath and are born on this earth, our mother and father celebrate our new birth. They invite their relatives over full of joy and laughter, but we've been born into a world of sin and disaster. Something needs to happen to get us out of this state. We need to be born again. The Bible tells us for God's people they were predestinated. It was His plan. Well, if that's the case for you and that's the case for me, and we have received salvation full and free, then the first thing to be accomplished for us, the final thing to be accomplished for us, is our glorification after we've received our salvation. You know, I'm not so concerned whether a person wears jewelry or not, or whether a person wears black or not. I'm wearing a black shirt this morning. My wife commented, the holiness people used to like to wear black a lot. They liked to wear black ties and black suits, you know. They thought it was wrong to wear colored ties and stuff. Now, they've changed today, but they used to be very rigid had to wear bleached white shirts and all this, and women had to wear their hair up in a bun on the back of their head, and they were into all of these outward appearances. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You know, do you think that God really cares whether you wear black or green? You think God cares whether you wear your hair up or down? You think God really cares whether you're about your titles that you take on? I remember when I would go to graduation celebrations up at the Holiness School, they'd march down the aisles, and the one that had certain stripes on their gowns, they had, that was a sign, well, that guy has a master's degree, that guy has a bachelor's degree, that guy has a doctorate degree, parading in front of everyone their educational credentials. It was like a social club. I've entitled this Most Seminaries. Most seminaries are for one purpose and one purpose alone: to call theologians divine and to put man on the throne. Filling students' minds with lies that are not in the Bible and telling them the will, this will not make them unreliable. It's not what they say they are, but what they say they are not, saying they are not Arminian or into free will, even though that's what you're being taught, and process regeneration until you get your fill. We are not dispensational, that's what some say, but they bring dispensational teachers in so they can have a heyday. We believe in the doctrine of election and predestination too, but listening to the professors will make a zombie out of you. You must think like Burkhoff, Bettner, or Billy Graham. How about getting your instructions from the one who said, "I am that I am"? I'm so glad that I no longer attend one of these zoos, and I'm recommending that you stay out of them too. They'll put you in a cage and you will never get out. Confused and most assuredly your salvation you will doubt. You know, I was talking to my wife earlier this morning, and we experienced, because we both were in the Holiness organization. You know, our parents were in it. We were placed there because our parents placed us there. But the Holiness organization was more like a social club. You were accepted if you went along with all of their false doctrines. And if you didn't go along with it, you were basically, and I was one of them, that was pretty much ostracized and treated like a second-class citizen, you know. Well, one of these days, the society that we're living in, we're going to be ostracized and placed like a second-class citizen if we don't go along with all the lies and filth in our society, including the homosexual agenda. Many say they would die for Christ. Peter said the same thing and denied Christ. When we come to the time we might have to face persecution, will our response be the same as Peter? It's my belief from the study of the scriptures and the reality of the times we're living in, which includes the radical homosexual agenda propagated not only by the homosexuals but by the federal government of the United States and the United Nations, that we as true Christians will probably face persecution by our own government in our lifetime. We need to remember that God alone is the only one we can look to that will be faithful to work in us to demonstrate the faith that He's placed in us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In and ourselves, we can do absolutely nothing and will most certainly compromise our testimony. We know this, and if we are honest, we must attest to the fact that we have failed in our testimony before others many, many times. How should we prepare for the upcoming persecutions to Christians in America and throughout the world? We should study the Bible daily, and during our study, pray that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the truth of God's Word. We should pray and ask God to protect us from the power of Satan, and that God would cause us to live a repentant life, and when we succumb to sin, that He would cause us to repent and turn back to Him, which He will do if we are one of His elect. We should fellowship with those who are committing to the same thing. We should pray that God would cause us to live our lives in the light of eternity and not be preoccupied with the trivial things of this world. We should constantly be reminded that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, one of the things that I've discovered down through the years, and that is that people that are propagating a works doctrine never want to talk about being predestinated into adoption. They never want to talk about the great doctrines of grace. They never want to talk about election. They want to propagate a man's decision, a man's control, and man's abilities. They don't want to give God the glory. You know, they want to be accepted by society. You know, this is the last one I'm going to read this morning. It's called Popularity Contest. If you're counting on how many likes you get someday, all this counting may leave you in a mess. Because if you stick by the Bible and what I tell you is true, not very many people are going to like you. If you look for acceptance of those in your church, this looking for acceptance may leave you in a lurch. Your rule of faith in life should be God's Word, and frankly, most people today think that is absurd. If you're wanting the approval of relatives and friends, the question you should be asking is where the truth begins and ends. If you're trying to ride the fence and merely compromise, my friend, this is not acceptable in God's eyes. So the next time you look to see how many likes you've got, remember one thing: the Bible is not. It does not promote a popularity contest to guide you to the top. It is the Word of God, and if obeyed, will cause your popularity to flop. Okay. Well, just some things to think about this morning. And if I'm going to err on the sovereignty of God and grace, not on the works of man. God bless.